Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Again, today is the day of Pentecost, and what a great day to celebrate new life in the church, especially through baptism. But I got to tell you a little story that happened a couple of weeks ago first. A couple of weeks ago, my youngest son, Hayes, had his last baseball game of the season. And now, I'll tell you, he doesn't quite have the same success on the baseball field as his older brothers do just yet, but he has fun. He has a lot of fun. And going into that last week of the season, he only had two hits all year, just two. But this game was different. This game was different. He had two hits in one game. Not the little league hits either, with errors and the ball going all over the place. They were real hits. Went to the outfield, past the outfielders and everything. And he was so excited. He was so excited after the game. And as we're walking back to the truck to come home, he said, just as serious as he could, "Dad, I am so happy my bat finally started working today." His bat finally started working. I've been thinking about that for a couple of weeks now. And I think that is one of the ways that many Christians think about the Holy Spirit. If I don't speak in tongues, or if I haven't healed anyone with my hands, or if I don't prophesy over a group of people, if I don't audibly hear God speaking, the Holy Spirit's just not working for me. And quite often, we have an inadequate view of who the Holy Spirit is and exactly what it is that the Holy Spirit does. This morning, the day of Pentecost, we heard the story of the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon many people from many different backgrounds, and they all heard the gospel. They heard the mighty works of God in their own languages. Their languages that had been confused and spread all over the face of the earth. They all heard the gospel, the mighty works of God in their own language. And I just have to say it because it's maybe my favorite aspect of Pentecost. That Pentecost is the reversal of what took place at Babel. When all of the voices, because of their disobedience and the rebellion to God from their own sin, the similar language of humanity was confused and spread over all the face of the earth. But now, on the day of Pentecost, people from all over, from various different places all over, was hearing in one language. And all those people who were gathered together that day, in that place, there was no coincidence at all. No coincidence that it was 10 days after the ascension of Jesus back into heaven. They were all gathered together there for a very important purpose, for a very important reason. Some of them were already followers of Jesus, for sure. Some of them were already followers. Some of them had heard about Jesus, knew of him, but perhaps weren't followers. And then there were others who were present that day who had no idea who Jesus even was. Nevertheless, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon all of them that were gathered that day. Came upon all of them in a miraculous rush of wind and fire, of grace and mercy, of miracle and precedent. They each heard the good news of the gospel, the mighty works of God, and Peter then delivered a magnificent sermon, telling of those mighty works of God through Jesus Christ. Now, it is important to note that the day of Pentecost is the first time that the Holy Spirit came upon a large group of people. Previously in the Old Testament and coming upon the John the Baptist in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals, prophets, to tell the mighty works of God, to deliver warnings, to speak hope, to lead, to guide, to be the voice of the Lord on earth through individuals. This is why we have all of the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel. But now, we have the Spirit, the same Spirit, coming upon a large group of people. Not only an individual, but a large group of people. And it is the same Spirit who delivers the same message. The works of God. Warnings, hope, leadership, guidance to be the voice of the Lord on earth. The day of Pentecost is indeed the birth of the church. And the great culmination of the day of Pentecost is what takes place right at the end of Peter's sermon that we didn't read this morning. Peter's sermon goes through Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and then in verse 41. I encourage you to read this later. In verse 41, Luke, who was the author of this portion of the book of Acts, writes, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." How about that for the mighty work of God? 3,000 souls were added that day. Beloved, that phrase right there, that verse, that's Acts 2:41. Is the great work of the Holy Spirit. The unification of repentant believers. The building of the church. Baptism. The mighty works of God. The Holy Spirit is the great gift from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to gather believers in oneness, as we heard from Father Arthur last week, in oneness under the umbrella of God's great love in salvation. And there are times when I do not feel the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm sure that every person in here can say something similar to that. There are times when I don't feel the Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit isn't a magic baseball bat that suddenly works one day. Here's where that analogy really breaks down, by the way. The Spirit, friends, the Spirit isn't a tool to be used when we feel the necessity. The Spirit isn't dependent on how I use it. The Spirit isn't dependent on any one of us. I don't use the Spirit. The Spirit uses me. The Spirit uses us, especially when we are gathered together in the oneness, in the unity of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Lord, the giver of life. The divinity of the Spirit does not rely on how I acknowledge or recognize the Spirit in my life. The Spirit is always working. Since the day of Pentecost, when he came down on the apostles, on the disciples, from many other, and upon many others, to build the kingdom of God. Not to build the kingdom of me, or the kingdom of any individual, but to build the kingdom of God. And today, the same Spirit is always at work. Whether we feel it or not, the Spirit is working. The Spirit has been at work in the lives of believers for more than 2,000 years now. The church of God, as so ordained by the Spirit of God, will never die. It will never fade. It will never grow fallow. The things of the world certainly will die. They will fade. They are temporary. But the Holy Spirit, friends, is eternal. Has always been there. Is present now and always will be in the future. Eternal. And whether or not I feel the Spirit working in my life at the moment, He is. He is. And I've said many times, and I think we have seen it many times over these last couple of years, that the greatest work of the Spirit, the greatest work of the Holy Spirit, is the unification of repentant believers. This means that every time we gather together to worship, to pray, to study, to have fellowship together, to do service in the Lord's name, every time we gather to do any of those things, it is the greatest work of the Spirit. Those who received the word that day were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is how the Spirit works. Look around you right now. Look around you right now. Even if I don't feel the Spirit working, the Spirit is present and at work right now. The Holy Spirit of God is building God's kingdom right here under our feet, under our noses on John's Island. The church, you and I gathered together in the Lord's name, are a great miracle of the Spirit. We come from many different backgrounds, many different places. Friends, I don't have to speak in tongues or perform great miracles of healing or make prophetic witness to know that the Spirit is alive and active. All I have to do is look around. Look around. The church is growing. Eddie was baptized this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to grow the church. St. John's Parish Church, each one of you, every one of you, everyone who is here today, friends, this is the greatest work of the Spirit. You aren't here by chance this morning. You are here for a very great reason, for a very great purpose. The Holy Spirit has been working in the life of St. John's Parish Church mightily these last 2 years. And the resiliency, the resolve, the faithfulness, and the resurrection life that each one of you has displayed is a mighty work of God. I am grateful for every one of you. I love every one of you dearly. The Holy Spirit is working through everyone in here mightily. You are all a living witness of the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, even if you've never spoken in tongues. Friends, the day of Pentecost has arrived. The birth of the church is here. We are one body purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ and given the breath of life by the Spirit. Together we are indeed a great resurrection of the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life today and in my life today, we can confidently proclaim our faith. Now, and we just as we did earlier when we said the creed together, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's us. That's the body of Christ. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.